13. Animals' language capacity. In their natural habitat, non-human primates communicate with each other in systems that include visual, auditory, olfactory, and tactile signals. Many of these seem to have meaning associated with the animal's immediate environment or emotional state. They can signal danger to each other and can communicate aggressiveness and subordination. Females of some species emit a specific call, indicating that they are sexually quiescent, that inhibits attempts by males to copulate. But the natural sounds and gestures produced by all non-human primates show that their signals are highly stereotyped and limited in terms of the messages they convey. Most importantly, studies of such animal communication systems reveal that the basic vocabularies occur primarily as emotional responses to particular situations. They have no way of expressing the anger they felt yesterday or the anticipation for tomorrow. Washu. Psychologists Allen and Beatrice Gardner recognized that one disadvantage suffered by the primates was their physical inability to pronounce many different sounds. Without a sufficient number of phonemic contrasts, spoken human language is impossible. Many species of primates are manually dexterous, however, and this inspired the Gardners to attempt to teach American Sign Language to a chimpanzee whom they named Washu. Washu was brought up in much the same way as a human child might be, except that she was constantly in the presence of people who used ASL, and she was deliberately taught to sign. By the time Washu was 4 years old, June 1969, she had acquired 85 signs with such meanings as more, eat, listen, gimme, key, dog, you, me, Washu, and hurry. Washu was also able to produce sign combinations such as baby mine, you drink, hug, hurry, gimme flower, more fruit. These results are remarkable and raise the question of whether Washu's accomplishments are comparable to a deaf child's learning sign language. Sarah. At about the same time, psychologist David Primack undertook to teach a chimpanzee named Sarah an artificial language designed to resemble human languages in some aspects. The units of Sarah's language consisted of differently shaped and colored plastic symbols that were metal-backed. Sarah and her trainers talked to each other by arranging these symbols on a magnetic board. Sarah was taught to associate particular symbols with particular meanings. These symbols were the words or morphemes of Sarah's language. Thus, a small red square meant banana, and a small blue rectangle meant apricot. These and others revealed that Sarah learned words corresponding to English nouns, adjectives, and verbs. She even acquired symbols for abstract concepts like same as and different from, negation, and a symbol to represent question. She also showed sensitivity to word order, which is part of syntax and semantics. For example, given the sentence, "If Sarah put red on green, Mary gives Sarah chocolate," Sarah would dutifully place a red card on top of a green card and collect her reward. The sentence, "If Sarah put green on red, Mary gives Sarah chocolate," evoked the response of placing a green card on a red one. Sarah was capable of understanding some fairly complex sentences. She was first taught to respond correctly to sentences in the chip language, such as, "Sarah insert apple pail," "Sarah insert banana dish." These are commands or imperative sentences instructing Sarah to put the apple in the pail or put the banana in the dish. Later, Sarah was given the compound sentence, "Sarah insert apple pail, Sarah insert banana dish," which she understood and she carried out both tasks correctly. Finally, she was given the sentence, Sarah insert apple pail, banana dish, in which the second occurrence of the two words, Sarah and insert, is deleted. Sarah understood this sentence to mean, put the apple in the pail and the banana in the dish, rather than put the apple, pail, and banana in the dish. She correctly grouped together apple with pail and banana with dish. Based on this experiment, Primack and others have suggested that when Sarah processes a sentence, she does more than link words in simple linear order. She imposes subgroupings on the words, just as humans do. Nim Chimpsky. In a project specifically designed to test the linguistic claims that emerged from these chimpanzee experiments, another chimpanzee named Nim Chimpsky was taught ASL by his trainer, the psychologist H.S. Terrace, under careful experimental conditions that included thorough record-keeping and many hours of videotaping. Nim's teachers hoped to show beyond a reasonable doubt that chimpanzees had a human-like linguistic capacity, in contradiction to statements by Noam Chomsky that human language is species-specific. The play on Chomsky's name was intended to be ironic. In nearly 4 years of the project, Nim learned about 125 signs, and during the last 2 years, Nim's teachers recorded more than 20,000 utterances, consisting of two or more signs. About half of these contained exactly two signs, and about 1,300 of these two-sign combinations were different from one another. As possible evidence that Nim had a sense of word order, his teachers observed that the sign for more occurred in the first position in 85% of those two-sign combinations containing more, such as more banana, more hug. In his use of transitive verbs, Nim placed the verb in first position more than 75% of the time. After analyzing the videotapes of Nim's conversations, the Project Nim researchers concluded that the way Nim signed with his teachers was significantly different than the way a child converses or signs with adults. Only 12% of Nim's utterances were spontaneous, and of the 88% where the teacher initiated signing, half of Nim's responses were full or partial imitations of the teacher's utterance. Children initiate conversations more and more frequently as they grow older, and their utterances repeat less and less of the adult's prior utterance. Some children hardly ever imitate in conversation. Children become increasingly more creative in their language use, but Nim showed almost no tendency towards such creativity. Once it was discovered how frequently Nim was prompted by his teacher's signing, researchers began to examine films of Washu and others, and were led to similar conclusions. Much of what appeared to be creative signing was in fact prompted by occurrences of the same signs in the immediately preceding discourse.